Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. Get all the leaves
What's
on
up?
The trees
What's
are
up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz sings. It's the 1st of December already. Where did the year go once again? Man, I'll tell you, when you get old, it goes fast. Man, are we flying by? It's amazing. And, of course, what could be more amazing than the markets have been? Truly amazing. And, of course, yesterday we saw the phony OPEC deal. Okay, you know, you can talk all you want. They're going to violate. I will bet you any amount of money they will violate this agreement. And, of course, they did do enough damage to trap the shorts and to get a spike. And if you don't think they're not selling heavy into this market, you better think again. But as we look at the markets, they are in a major diverging pattern. And, of course, we saw yesterday the Dow make brand new highs. And, of course, but the NASDAQ got clobbered. We saw the S&P down a little bit and the Russell. Now, after going up 15 days in a row, seems to be having a little bit of struggles. But does it matter? And the answer is, listen, the markets trade what they trade. And, again, I can give you 1,000 reasons why we should not be going higher. But there's only one thing to debate those 1,000 reasons, and that's basically that the market has been working its way higher. And whether it continues or not, we'll see. I do not believe that the evidence is clear that we can go much higher. I mean, again, I'm not telling you we're going down right now, but I can tell you this, that we are priced for perfection plus. And somebody's going to have to remember that there is a mountain full of debt out there, okay? And you can only try to borrow your way out of debt for so long before it's time to pay the piper. So, And that time is coming soon to a theater near you. But I think the week has been interesting in all points as Donald Trump continues to build his cabinet. And already you've got people complaining about his choices. And, of course, now we've had, you know, people the complaining about this guy, that guy. And at the end of the day, I think you have to hand it to the president-elect, who is, I think, doing what we thought he would do, which is trying to make decisions and become a unifier as he continues to try to bring everybody together, not left or right, but everybody as one. Because, again, as I believe, and I said this before the election, I don't believe that he is left or right. I think he's more in the center. And I think that that becomes important. But, of course, his plans and his ideals are phenomenal, which has allowed the markets to assume change. But, of course, the markets, in my opinion, have definitely well overshot the mark because we are due a correction. But if you want to talk about diverging markets, you know, if you look at a day, you have a Dow making record highs and the NASDAQ getting absolutely clobbered. You've seen this week the Russell selling off some. We've now seen oil spiking, but we see more importantly interest rate spiking, which is something we said here on the show months and months and months ago, saying that if the Fed wouldn't get off their ass and raise rates, then the bond market would do it for them. And, of course, that is exactly what is happening because the Federal Reserve, as we see it and know it and watch it today, is nothing more than a Ponzi scheme of taking away your money and my money and giving it away to the banks. And fortunately and hopefully this will stop because, you know, you cannot continue to take away and let these oversized organizations, these too big to fail, get away because, unfortunately, you and me get to pay the tab. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of paying the tab. I'm sick of the Federal Reserve, the socialist Federal Reserve, which if you go back and look at the creation of it, the original mandate versus what they do is not even remotely close. And of course, I believe that was the plan all along. And I do believe that it has become a very, very bad organization with virtually no value in here, which is why you're seeing a lot of things go away. And of course, now we're talking about the destruction of cash. We are now, of course, cutting down the number of big bills that are out there as they strive to get everybody onto basically a credit system. If you start with the welfare system and the link card, which is you get so much money put on that card and there is no more cash transactions, and that's a pretty scary thought because they're trying to grab total control of your private business and what you do or do not negotiate in a cash situation, because many of us over the years have been able to maneuver and make better deals by paying somebody, you know, in a cash or, you know, getting, equal payment right away. So we could do that. And of course, we are seeing a shift away. As you remember, you know, back in the day, everything was cash in a restaurant, and now it's probably 90% charge. And of course, pretty soon we will have to carry, a vault with us. But I mean, pretty soon everything will just be on a card. Have you noticed the technology? You know, you don't need credit cards anymore because you can put your credit card right in your phone. It's a mess. And but this is another way to keep an eye on you, okay? To know where you're spending, what you're spending. It leads to more marketing to you. And these are things that I find a little bit distressing. The privacy going away because now there's more tracks of where you're going and what you're doing. And I think that's a shame. I think that, you know, again, it looks like the fantasy sports battle is over because certainly the government figured out a way to get their share of that. And hopefully soon they'll end the online poker situation, because once again, all they're doing is letting the money leave this country to somebody else because of the stupidity of our government and them trying to shut everybody down. And if you don't think that people are going to find a place, it goes back to everything we talk about all the time. The criminals, the bad guys, they are always going to find a way to get it done. And they're going to find a way to get into your pockets and help you break the law as well, because our government's too stupid to figure out a way to tax it. And that's their concern. They don't really care what you're doing. They just want to be able to get their fair share. I mean, this has always been the major problem, okay? They don't want to give it away. They want their share. But they can't ever figure out how to get it done because you've got so many idiots there trying to figure out and get their piece of the fair share that it makes no sense to anybody. And, of course, I think now hopefully we're on the right course and things are starting to look brighter. So let's hope we get things moving in the right direction. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge. And for my football fans, Minnesota will beat the Dallas Cowboys tonight. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Back to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, I always do my weekly gig with Rural Rally Radio and Marlon Bowling or Mark Oppel. This week, I am with Marlon Bowling, and of course, I want you to share my opinions, and of course you can get to see some of the results of my opinions, but let's get to Roll Rally Radio with Marlon Bowling right now. Here we go.
And welcome Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago, and Todd, thanks for joining us here. You kind of have to look at that crude oil market last night with a bit of awe in the trade that did take place, $2 to $3 higher on the crude oil market. That market has been hammered. It has been rallying this past few days. It seems like it's all focused on this OPEC meeting. Is that right? What's your perception there?
Good morning, Marlon. And I woke up with dollar signs in my eyes because I figure it's a great opportunity to sell it. I think that this is... I think it's being driven right now, obviously, by OPEC, but more by a short squeeze as the traders and speculators, I think, believe that the deal is coming closer. But I think the overall issue here is, what is the deal going to do with the dramatic oversupply we have to begin with? It's not going to change anything. They're locking in at numbers that are record production to begin with. So to me, it's illogical, the movement that we're seeing here. Certainly, I have sold some myself this morning already and will be willing to sell more. I think that this is more of a short squeeze, panic rally. And if you watch the action, you can see how fast they run them up and then they take them down a little bit and they run them up again. So to me, this is more of a short squeeze based on information that is, in my opinion, valueless. And in my opinion, as soon as Trump takes over, there will be no more OPEC. We will not be involved with them anymore.
So in your opinion, and you're talking to producers out here all across North America right now on Sirius XM on Channel 147, if you're talking to producers and they're looking to trying to lock in some energy needs, I guess you're telling them don't panic right now. Things will settle down before the end of the year?
I think we'll have a chance. My target, I've written it every week, and I will continue to knock this target until I really see a reason to change, and that would be $40 is where I'm looking to lock in next year's fuel costs. I think we'll get there. Again, you know, obviously there's no guarantees, but we're up at some major resistance from a technical standpoint here. And again, if you've watched the action, we're still making lower highs. And, you know, we were just down yesterday at 45, so we've had an awfully dramatic rally here. But when you watch the tape, when you watch the trade, you can see how fast it's moving back and forth, which means there's a lot of panic buying going on right now.
Pretty good gains in the soybeans again this morning. And we have the corn, 3 to 4 cents higher in the early morning trade today. What's up with the soybean trade here? A lot of analysts were saying yesterday part of that was the month-end positioning. Well, that theory kind of goes out the window, doesn't it? Because today is the end of the month.
I thought that, you know, the action was very good. It had about a 14-cent range overnight so far, and we're just getting ready to close down for the morning. But, you know, I think that, look, I thought soybeans were, for 18 weeks, we were stuck in a range. When we were still in November, we were 940 to 10. When we switched to January, we were 960 to 1020. Once we broke out that 1020, I think that, you know, we've got a chance to probably try to touch 1070, 1075. As you know, I'm bullish the space in general. I'd like to see a little bit of a pullback. I'd really want to see the action around the 1020 level again, because I think that might be the new support here. But I'm not surprised we're trying to go higher, but you are seeing a lot of activity and a little bit more volatility than we've seen recently. So I think that, you know, the overnight range was fairly wide, you know, in what should be a slow period. But they look pretty good. And again, I would be watching, you know, 1044 where we are now. I'd be looking for 1020 or 1070 before I do anything. But certainly I'm looking for an opportunity to buy because I think we're going higher. I think the year 2017 is going to be a very good year for our farmers and producers. I think that the grain markets are going to be very strong next year. I think you're going to see a lot of money flow in when these markets start to sell off. And I think a lot of the things that Trump is trying to get done with a lot of the regulations will be a big boom and a big help to the farmers and producers as well.
Well, I want to bring you back here in a moment. We'll talk more about the markets. And I noticed where the crude oil on West Texas crude and Brent crude is, both markets are over $3 higher right now at last check. We'll talk more with Todd Bubba Horowitz about the markets right after this. On the Wednesday morning edition of Commodity Wrap, I'm Marlon Bowling with you, along with Zach Krautmann. He's running the board for us today. And on the phone, we have Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago on the wheat trade. Looks like the wheat market has really been stretching to take out some lows here recently, even though it's trading higher here this morning. What do you think of the future of this wheat? And by the way, I'll throw in that we have the Minneapolis wheat on the march trading at over a dollar and a quarter premium to the Chicago market. Didn't know if that was expected to change much or not.
Well, I tell you, I'm a big fan of wheat here. You know, it may take a little bit longer than I thought, but I'm a big fan, and I think we're going to see significantly higher prices in wheat coming up here soon. I think you're going to see a dramatic drop in the dollar. You know, probably not until after the Fed, a couple of weeks from actually 2 weeks from today. But I do believe that you're going to see a weakening in the dollar, which would be very helpful, and wheat especially. And I think that we are going to see some very solid pricing in wheat going forward. So I'm a big fan of wheat in here, and I think we're going to see, as long as we can hold these lows, and we've held them for quite a while, I think we're going to see much higher prices coming into next year. So I'm looking to buy, and I'm looking for good spots, and certainly I think what I believe is going to happen in the dollar will certainly help the wheat markets.
So between corn, soybeans, and wheat, which one do you think has the best return to risk ratio?
I think so. I believe wheat has the biggest return to reward for risk. I think that you're going to see that will have the biggest pop. I think, you know, traditionally, you know, we've had wheat a dollar or so over corn, and right now we're at about 40 or 50 cents. So I think that you're going to see wheat will start to outperform. And again, I wish I could say the exact date, but that I can't. But I do believe that in this time period here now, that I think wheat's got the biggest potential. I think right now corn is at a key spot, 345 basis March. You know, we've popped off that a couple of times, and it could get ugly here if it does break. I don't think it will, but it could. And then I would think that soybeans, you know, again, if they can break out over that 1070 level after coming back to 1020, then that has a potential. But I think percentage basis and risk reward, I think wheat's your best play right here.
Are you comfortable with the break we're seeing in the cattle market?
I'm more than comfortable. I'd like to see the break a little bit steeper. Again, I'm a fan there as well. So I'm a happy guy today. I'm a fan for everything. I think that I'd like to see the fat cattle come down to about 106, 107, 108, somewhere in that neighborhood to look to be a buyer again. I think that the feeders probably need 121 or so to get down there, and then I'd like to be a buyer there. I think they've stretched a little bit too far here. I think that you're seeing probably some reasons that that are being used, but I don't think that those are valid. I think we're going to see a fairly sharp sell-off here in the next couple of weeks maybe, but maybe sooner. Certainly, I'm looking to buy a dip, and I will be happy to buy at the numbers 121 in the feeders and 106, 107 in the fat. And I think the hogs, they're really stretched here. You know, there's obviously the news that there's a lot of buying in Mexico because of what may happen, but I think they're well overdone, and I think they're just waiting for a reason to dry up here and take a pretty good hit here.
Well, Todd, good to visit with you again. If somebody wants to reach out to you there and talk one-on-one about the markets, how do they reach you?
You can email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. You can contact me through the website. Would love to talk to you. Always interested in trying to help everybody handle their marketing plans better and put you in a better shape to make money.
Bubba@BubbaTrading.com. Doesn't get much easier to remember than that. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it. Todd, Bubba Horowitz of Bubba Trading.
Thanks, Ron.
And,
of course, my opinions, although not always right, but my opinions are very well thought out based on what I have seen and how I have tracked the footprint of the markets, and that's why I believe that we've seen oil, you know, it can go a little bit higher, but, of course, I think that it's all BS, as I like to put down in my writings. And, of course, we've got everything kind of diverging all over the world. But, again, you've got to use your talents, your mind, and the ability to sit back and observe. And that will give you always the best chance to understand how the market's going to work, no matter which one it is. Because at the end of the day, they all kind of work the same way. And I always want to make you aware of that to help make it easier for you to make the right selection. This is the Bubba Show, the right selection. And we always want to make sure that you check out libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to step by here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and I thought today we would share a little bit of our buddy Bill Whittle and some of his ideas and thoughts. So let's go check out what Mr. Bill Whittle has to say.
But the left's counterattack to this Trump victory is going to be unprecedented. They're going to start indoctrinating people neonatally now. Now, this second American Revolution, this last best hope of saving the country, this revolution will not be fought with bullets and bayonets. It's going to be fought with images and ideas. We need to face the fact that despite the election, the ideas and people that are destroying this country continue to grow more powerful every day, because every day more and more young people call themselves socialists, and unless we turn that trend around, this win was a one-off, and we will not get this chance again. The left has succeeded because they had a plan, and for 50 years they stuck to the plan, funded the plan, executed the plan, and had confidence in the success of the plan, and it worked. Now, finally, we have a chance to actually go on the offensive and win back some ground. And to do that, we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan and stick to it, and it's going to take 40 years. So here it is. Number one, win the hearts and minds of young people. Now that means we have to go from this to this. We have to tell young Americans that freedom's not something that happened 250 years ago. Freedom is in the future. We the people needs to be in black Helvetica on a white background, and we have to sell freedom the same way that Apple sells iPhones. Now this means getting today's young conservatives the tools they need to recruit more young conservatives. I've met them, you know, they've got a lot of guts, these kids swimming against this kind of cultural current. So we need to ammo these kids up, and right now. And we can't waste time or effort on anyone who's already voted for Bernie or Hillary. We're just going to triage them off to the side for the time being and aim for 15, 16, 17-year-olds, you know, the people who are going to be voting next time. Number two, we have to get into the pop culture. We conservatives have just walked away from the language and references that ordinary people use every day. Now, our mistake is that we've tried to make conservative movies, music, and TV, but that's not how it works. Easy Rider, for example, wasn't about socialism, but it was about a dark America, an evil America, and it was cool and different and hip, and movies like that changed minds. We don't need to make conservative movies, music, and TV. We need to make interesting and cool movies, music, and TV that have conservative values. And if anyone can smell the politics in these productions, then we will have failed. Number three, we have to outflank the mainstream news media. Outflanking them doesn't mean changing them. The mainstream media is the publicity agency for the progressive agenda. They're corrupt to the core, and they don't give a damn about the truth, and they haven't for a long time. Now, the good news is we don't have to try and change the mainstream media. It's dying all by itself. No one under 30 watches TV anymore. They get their news from Facebook and Instagram and all the rest. The New York Times, CNN, CBS, they're all dinosaurs, and they're dying right in front of our eyes. Now, there's a popular expression among millennials that we're just going to have to accept, and that is pics or it didn't happen. If you can't show me a photo or a video, then it didn't happen. Now, you don't have to like that. I don't like it either, but that's where we are. You see, these images taken on the spot and uploaded within minutes to the internet are irrefutable. 80 million Americans walk around with high-definition TV cameras in their pockets. Everybody is a citizen journalist now, and we need to accelerate this trend. Number four, we need a new kind of politician. Not a new politician, a new kind of politician. It's pretty simple, really. If you want the job, you can't have it. The people we need in Washington are the kind of people who view getting elected the way they would look at 2 years of jury duty. Actual people with actual lives and businesses who pay actual taxes and stagger under actual regulations. We have to find good people willing to wade into that sewer, do one term, and go home. Yes, you heard me, one term. No re-elections. No big money influence, just in and out of D.C. before that absolute power begins to corrupt absolutely. Because if 320 million people cannot produce 425 representatives, 100 senators, and 50 governors, then maybe we don't deserve to govern ourselves. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, we need to take away the progressives' weapons. Freedom either works for everybody or it doesn't, and that means we have to have a plan to get this person out of poverty, crime, violence, and especially dependency. Now, that's a 40-year job, but this man is an American. He's our countryman. His life has been ruined by 80 years of progressivism, and if we're not willing to address these war zones of crime and hopelessness, then somebody else will. But if we bring a small government solution to free this man and people like him, the progressives will be out of a job forever. Just think about that for a moment. Anyway, that's it. That's the plan. The left has dedicated 40 years and billions of dollars to back their plan to erode the Constitution and centralize power in the hands of progressives. And they have George Soros and Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all the rest. We have you. I need your help to reintroduce Americans to America. I probably won't live to see the end of this, but your kids and grandkids will. Are you with me? We've been given a window of opportunity, a reprieve, but not a pardon. And if we don't take advantage of it, we will not get this chance again. So help us win the second American Revolution by becoming a member at BillWhittle.com.
And, you know, you look at what Bill says, and of course, he's right. Because we've gone away from the free society that we had and the right for individual liberties, and we've boxed in people into groups. And when you have guys like the George Soroses of the world who pay protesters to go try to disrupt, when you have guys like Warren Buffett who the almighty Warren Buffett, who everybody talks about how great he is, who deliberately says one thing while doing completely another thing, you have a problem. And this is kind of the whole thing that ties really back into the central banking. Okay, it's the trying to put everybody into one class and have the very wealthy and the very strong to take care of everything and kind of keep the lid, keep the top on everybody without allowing it to go forward. And that is when, if you look around and you see what's happened over the years, and, you know, they've tried to, you know, continue to keep you under wraps, and we continue to try to see the bringing in of the socialism in this country, which is why I have said for the last couple of years that there is most likely the high potential of another revolution. Well, that revolution has begun. Okay, now the question will be, is from this point on, will the revolution become a fighting revolution? Will it become really nasty? Or will we, as Barney Fife used to say, and Andy Griffin, will we nip it in the bud right now? And this has been building for years and years and years. You know, when you took the poverty-stricken and you put them all in one area, what we really were doing is you were breeding more failure instead of trying to breed success. And the party in charge now is more about keeping them down versus letting them rise to the occasion and making it better for everybody. And if you don't think that's correct, just go back and look and see where we've been and see how power has been distributed. And that becomes a much more severe problem, which eventually the people will rise up and say enough. And that is the scary part of the world, is that the people, and I'm not talking about the creeps from ISIS and those people, those are just idiots, but I'm talking about Americans, okay, that you put them into a hole where they can't get out. You put them in quicksand, and of course, eventually they try to fight their way out, and you fight and you fight, and then you finally get a chance. And that is where the revolution begins, and that is why we've got so much unnecessary violence right now. That's why we've got idiots protesting right now. Instead of trying to make America better, we have people protesting the result because they have been brainwashed into the facts that everything should be for free and you should be really kept where you are like a drug addict, dependent on that machine that keeps you coming back. And that becomes the much bigger problem as we move on. And of course, you know, again, I won't be alive to see it all, but certainly at this point in time, this is a chance to take back the America that was originally designed by the founding fathers. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, Liberty Talk is the only place you need to go for all of your information. And it's you can get The Bubba Show there and The Sporting Edge on the weekends, as well as check out BubbaTrading.com as we wind down and are into December now. You know, we want to get ready for next year. So make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out here for break, and we'll be right back for more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm right back. Love listening to Mr. Bill Whittle and his stories and his ways of doing things. And let's go back and listen to what Mr. Whittle's got to say on the question, will he ever stop talking?
Should President Obama speak up or shut up after he leaves office? At a news conference in Lima, Peru this week, the outgoing chief executive said he'll give incoming President Trump some space and stay mum on particular policy issues, but he reserves the right to comment from the bleachers about core values and ideals. I'm Scott Ott with Stephen Green and Bill Whittle, and this Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Well, men asked by a reporter if he would emulate President George W. Bush and refrain from opining on current events, President Obama had this to say, and I'm just going to quote him because if we played the clip, it would take three times as long. Quote, I want to be respectful of the office and give the president-elect an opportunity to put forward his platform and his arguments without somebody popping off in every instance. As an American citizen who cares deeply about our country, if there are issues that have less to do with the specifics of some legislative proposal, but go to core questions about our values and our ideals, and if I think that it is necessary or helpful for me to defend those ideals, I'll examine it when it comes. End quote. Well, guys, there's no law that says a former president must put a cork in it. But the decorum surrounding the presidency and the decent respect for the opinions of others has made it de rigueur for the former commander-in-chief to hold his tongue about public policy matters. Stephen Green, part of America's exceptionalism is that our leaders are not royalty, and when a president's official term ends, he goes back to being Joe Citizen, albeit Joe Citizen in an up-armored SUV surrounded by a phalanx of gun-toting heavies. Nevertheless, why should we deprive a fellow citizen, Citizen Obama, of his right to pop off anytime he pleases?
Well, I don't think anybody's talking about depriving anybody of anything. What we are talking about, though, is the kind of decorum you expect in a democratic republic. That said, please, Mr. Soon-to-be ex-president, keep talking. Oh, dear Lord, please keep doing it. Not for my sake. I tuned you out about 7 years ago. All I hear now is, yeah, that's it's all just buzzing in my ears. It has been for years. And the reason for that is, you know, when Barack Obama was sworn in on January 20, 2009, the Democrats had a huge majority in Congress. They had a 60-vote supermajority in the Senate. They hold a majority of governorships throughout the 57 states. They had a majority of state assemblies and state senates combined. They had just an incredible power and influence over this country. 2 years later, they had lost the House in just the most stunning upset since I don't know when, thanks to the Tea Party. And then 4 years after that, they lost the Senate. And over the following 6 years, they lost governorship after governorship and assembly seat after assembly seat. I think the total is up around 1,000 now.
1,000.
Yeah, and the Republican Party is more powerful and more influential than it has been since in any time since 1920. You have to go back to Woodrow Wilson just making a total failure out of the World War I peace treaty negotiations and then mismanaging the transition back to a civilian economy to find a time when the Republicans did this well. And the number one reason for all that is Barack Obama and his big droning mouth that went on and on and on and on and on until the best the Democrats could do this last election was put up Hillary Clinton, the most unnatural candidate since, I don't know, Madame Tussaud's Dick Nixon, and lost the White House as well. So please, Mr. President, keep it up. Just it'll be a buzz in my ear.
This special thank you message brought to you by the RNC, the NRA, and America's gun manufacturers. Well, Bill
too.
Whittle, a dignified silence on the part of former President Obama would certainly elevate his status as a silver-haired statesman. But as you've often said, and Steve just now suggested, the left wants the right to shut up, but the right wants the left to keep talking. Shouldn't we lobby to get Mr. Obama his own slot on MSNBC? Call it Morning Bow.
Oh, lovely. Well played. It's nice to be able to joke about this. You know, Steve was talking about the inaugural 8 years ago, or almost 8 years ago, and it's like it's actually slowly dawning on me. It's like a ship coming out of a bad fog bank, you know? It's like, and there's no Skull Island in front of us either, just open water and a beautiful blue sky. Yes, you know, you said the word a couple times, two words that are notably lacking from Barack Obama. One of them is dignity, and the other one is the other one that you
decorum.
Mentioned. Decorum, yes, thank you very much. And he simply doesn't have these things. There is no requirement that the president be quiet. There's no constitutional limits on it. There's no laws that says the president can't say whatever he wants to. It's just been for 43 presidents prior to him. Good taste, good manners, good customs, and good appearances. But that's not going to slow this guy down because this guy doesn't have any respect for any of that. And by the way, every time I hear Barack Obama lecturing us on our values and what makes us strong and who we really are as a people, it reminds me of like, I don't know, it's kind of like Chris Farley reviewing like the latest research to come out of the super collider at CERN, you know? It's like he can identify certain words that actually make sense, but it's a little bit beyond him, I think. And so look, he's going to do it. We all know he's going to do it. There's no way this guy can be quiet. He was giving away half of our sovereignty to the United Nations because it gave him another post to step up to, world president, God apparently, and savior just beyond that horizon. So I say let the guy talk all he wants to. He will, as usual, be noticeable by his divergence from traditional norms of behavior. And furthermore, the more he talks, I think the more of a failure he's going to appear to be.
Hey, well, Scott, can I throw something in real quick? Because Bill brought up the late, great Chris Farley, and I just want to see – I would like to see Chris come back to interview former President Obama, and he'd have nothing to say but, hey – You remember when you signed Obamacare into law? Wasn't that awesome?
And then it collapsed. Wasn't that awesome?
Oh. Well, when Barack Obama appeared on the political scene, the media went gaga. And like the pop diva herself, Obama lives for the applause, applause, applause. He lives for the applause. He will not will not go gentle into obscurity, but will rage against the dying of his own light. And that's just fine with me. We wax nostalgic for what we've lost, but public opinion tends to wane with familiarity. It's good for the nation that they never forget who Barack Obama is, what he has done, and how he has done it. So address those core questions, dear departed leader. Perhaps if you speak about values and ideals often enough, you'll develop some worth having. I may not.
And of course, as we leave it there, as I have said many, many times, this is probably one of the worst presidents of all time. The most antagonistic, most un-American president that let the terrorism grow, let the rest of the world kind of trample over the United States. I think that, you know, again, we are seeing some of the attempts at change now, and we're seeing, of course, the big money whiners who no longer can grasp control of the economy and of the things that are going on. So hopefully we will see that change that we were promised 8 years ago, and we will see an improving not only economy, but an improving among the people that live here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, when you miss an episode, when you want to listen to the best content, you just go to libertytalk.fm, because we are the only station you'll need. You can get The Bubba Show there, as well as The Sporting Edge. And of course, make sure you check out the BubbaTrading.com. Always good information there. And I am doing a hedging webinar on Saturday at noon. The link is up on the site. Go check it out. It's free. You can come and learn how to hedge your portfolio. In the meantime, that'll do it for today, the 1st of December. Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later. On a cloudy day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.